Well, you know, it's great to start off Triple Play Thursday with the best song in rock and roll history. I think that's pretty cool. The greatest rock and roll song ever written. Triple Play Thursday. Yeah. 312-981-7200. One artist, three songs. Lou, I would personally like to thank Lou for requesting Cheap Trick. That is Surrender, the greatest rock and roll song ever recorded. This is, you know, we do, for those people who are regular listeners of the show, you know that we have you, the listeners, pick the songs that we play coming back from breaks and news and commercials and stuff, and we have a theme each morning. The best day to request Cheap Trick is indeed Triple Play Thursday, because we're going to hear two more Cheap Trick songs. That's fantastic. So, hi, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich, what's your opening bell at 5? With your opening bell at 5. And then at 6, it's Steve Cochran. Our phone number and text number is 312-981-7200 to jump in anytime. We're going to be talking about funny women. Who are the funniest women? And not just stand-up, in everything. And I also have a really interesting article that points out 8 women who changed the face of comedy forever. And we're going to talk about that. So if you'd like to join us with that, 312-981-7200 for talk and text and request for your Triple Play Thursday. We will also have another edition of Celebrity Name Game. Esmeralda and I will go head-to-head after she murdered me a few days ago on pop-up video. And so now maybe you can carry your victory into this morning, Esmeralda.
Yes! I've tasted blood.
Yeah, that's it, man. That's it. So we'll do that a little bit later on as well. So let me just tell you about this article. This article that is really interesting, pointing out 8 women who changed comedy forever. And I think these are great. These are great choices. And these were people who were innovators and changed things for comedy, changed the world of comedy, and opened up a lot of doors for some really unbelievably funny women who followed in their footsteps in their, in their professions. So here's, this really, I really like this list a lot. There's 8 women who have changed the face of comedy forever. Number 1 is Fanny Brice. And this, by the way, is in chronological order. They're going in chronological order here. So Fanny Brice, it's fair to say that without Fanny Brice, there might very well have never been a Lucille Ball or a Carol Burnett. Born in 1891, Brice left school at an early age to become a burlesque performer, which is how she was eventually discovered by Florence Ziegfeld. That after skyrocketing to stardom on His Follies, Brice went onto Broadway in numerous motion pictures. She was referred to as America's first female comedy superstar. Years after her 1951 death, Brice was portrayed in the Broadway and film productions of Funny Girl, the latter of which won Barbra Streisand a Best Actress Oscar in 1969. Does anybody remember what she said, what Barbra Streisand said to the Oscar when she came up to give her speech? She said, "Hello, gorgeous." That's what Barbra Streisand said to her Oscar. Second on this list is Lucille Ball, and you're going to hear that name a lot with, you know, talking about funny women. You can't not mention, you know, I have 2 other lists here, and I'm she's number 1 on both of the lists that I have, and they're 2 completely different lists. And Lucille Ball is number 1. Lucille Ball, along with her then-husband Desi Arnaz, deserves much credit for the television sitcom as we know it today. No television program before I Love Lucy, which ran from 51 to 57, had ever used a 3-camera setup or filmed in front of a live studio audience. So those crowd reactions during iconic moments like the candy conveyor belt or the grape squashing scenes, those were actual human beings, a human audience, members screaming out from laughter for the first time in television history. I Love Lucy was also one of the first TV shows ever to be sold into syndication, which is why you can still regularly catch reruns of this iconic sitcom today, over 60 years after its premiere. Back in 2012, it was reported that CBS was still making around $20 million annually from I Love Lucy syndication deals. That's amazing. That is absolutely amazing. And, you know, I don't know if, you know, one of the things that they brought up here is that it was indeed the first three-camera sitcom setup. And that was Desi Arnaz's idea, man. And it revolutionized television. It completely revolutionized television and the way sitcoms were done. I mean, now there aren't as many of this, but the ironic thing is that nowadays, Dan, as you know, there's a lot more one-camera filmed sitcoms.
Right.
Than there are the standard three-camera setup. But, yeah, I mean, that changed everything. And Lucille Ball, man, what can you say about Lucy? You got to love Lucy. You got to. Esmeralda, do you watch reruns of I Love Lucy ever?
Yeah, every once in a while.
Yeah. I grew up on The Lucy Show, which was the one that, I mean, I you know, of course, I Love Lucy, everybody sees that one. But the one that I was, when I was a kid, that I used to watch all the time was The Lucy Show. It also had Vivian Vance on it, but it had Mr. Mooney. Well, Dale Gordon was Mr. Mooney. Fantastic. You guys remember the movie The Burbs? Dan, you've seen The Burbs,
sure.
Right? Okay. Esmeralda, have you ever seen The Burbs?
Yeah.
Such a great movie. Such a great movie. Vic, have you ever seen The Burbs?
I have not.
Tom Hanks? It's great. It's really great. Really, really funny. And so... the late Rick Dukeman, by the way, is the king in that movie. He's unbelievably hilarious in that movie. Oh, and Carrie Fisher's in it, too. But anyway, Gail Gordon is in that movie. He's in The Burbs, if you guys remember. If you remember, he's the old guy with the bad toupee who lets his little dog poop on Bruce Dern's lawn every morning.
See, I do remember that.
And then he disappears. So Gordon disappears. Gail Gordon disappears. And so the neighbors are like convinced that the new neighbors who just moved into the cul-de-sac have killed him. They've killed Walter, played by Gail Gordon. So they go into his house without permission. They break into the house. Bruce Dern breaks the window and they go into the guy's house because they think he's dead. And they're looking around through the house and there's a picture on top of his, either on his mantle or on top of the TV. They're like looking through Gail Gordon's stuff. They're like sifting through his stuff. And Tom Hanks is trying to stop these idiots from just like ransacking their neighbor's house while he's not home after they've already broken in. So as they're looking around in the house, the camera, it's not a close-up or anything. You have to look at it kind of closely. But you keep your eye on the pictures that are on top, I think, of his TV, on top of the character that Gail Gordon plays TV. One of the pictures is a framed photo of him and Lucille Ball. And it's just, there's no, you know, they don't point it out. They don't say anything about it. If you see it, you just get this stupid inside joke that there is indeed a picture acknowledging the fact that he is Mr. Mooney. It's Joe Dante, the director of that movie. Also the director of Gremlins 2, which we discussed the genius of the other day. Okay, so Lucille Ball, number three on this list. Rich talked about her, Phyllis Diller. The impact that Phyllis Diller made in the stand-up world was huge. The obstacles that Phyllis Diller had to endure and climb over were massive because it was kind of unheard of for a woman to do stand-up. And she did a lot of, like, she really sort of invented the real self-deprecating comedy. She tried to look as ugly and unattractive as she could and then make jokes about it. She had that cackle, that crazy cackle and laugh. She talked about her husband. Her husband's name in her world was Fang. And it was just, she was phenomenal. It says here, often cited as the very first female stand-up celebrity, Diller was widely known for her trademark wild hairstyle, off-the-wall outfits, and when it came to her material, Diller was serious business. Rather than performing song and dance routines and other flashy gimmicks like many other female performers of that day, Diller simply told jokes, and she told them so well that Guinness once recognized her comedic volume by conferring on her the world record for most laughs per minute. Countless fellow comedians like fellow icon Joan Rivers list Diller as an influence, which explains why she's often referred to as the queen of comedy. And let's take a quick break and we'll come back. And this is a really interesting article about eight women who basically changed the face of comedy and opened doors for all women to follow. And we're talking about funny women. We'd love to hear from you. 312-981-7200. Talk and text. Oh, yeah. Man, I don't even know what to say about this band anymore. Finally in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, deservedly so, Cheap Trick. Two of Triple Play Thursday, man, Triple Play Thursday. One artist, three songs, 312-981-7200. That, of course, is I Want You to Want Me. Lou, thank you for picking Cheap Trick. All right, talking about this really cool article about, historically, eight women who changed comedy forever. We talked about Fanny Bryce, Lucille Ball, and Phyllis Diller. And I just am so happy that they included the next three entries because they're kind of grouped together. And this really makes me happy that they included these three, and I think that absolutely deservedly so. And I'm also thrilled that two of the three have been on my show, which I'm thrilled about. The next three entries are Marilyn Suzanne Miller, Annie Beats, and Rosie Schuster. They may not ring a bell, but their work certainly does. They were the lone three female writers during the first season of SNL. They were the only female writers of the first season of SNL, the three of them, and they helped to shape the formative first year of what could be what became a comedy institution. And in addition, Marilyn Suzanne Miller, who's the only one who hasn't been on my show, Annie Beats and Rosie Schuster have both been on separately. And in addition to SNL, Miller also wrote for the Mary Tyler Moore Show and the award-winning Lily Tomlin television special Lily. And get this, this is Marilyn Suzanne Miller. Basically, she created the Festrunk brothers, the two wild and crazy guys. That was her. That was her. Damn it, that was her. So Dan Aykroyd and Steve Martin, especially Steve Martin, need to thank her. You know, that became his damn catchphrase for his entire career. Marilyn Suzanne Miller is her name. She also came up with most of Gilda Radner's popular characters. Rosanna Dana was hers. She's an amazing writer. Beats also spent time writing for National Lampoon magazine, one of the most revered publications in the history of American humor. Miller, Beats, and Schuster helped pave the way for later SNL scribes like Tina Fey, who in 1999 would become the show's first female head writer. So it took till 1999, from 1975 to 1999. There was never a female head writer until Tina Fey came along. And then there was a female, and that's also when Beth McCarthy Miller came in and started directing episodes, and she was like the first female director in SNL history. And that's around the time when, you know, people like Anna Gasteyer and Maya Rudolph and Molly Shannon were dominating. That's when, like, the women basically took over SNL, and those are some of the best years. Some of the absolute best years when the female voices were in power on SNL. It was some of the strongest years ever, many of which were better than some of the seasons in the 70s. All right, next on the list is Whoopi Goldberg. She began as a masterful live stage performer using character-based monologues to simultaneously generate laughter and introspection about modern society. After starring on Broadway, she was recruited into the world of motion pictures by none other than Steven Spielberg to star in his 85 film adaptation of The Color Purple. She earned an Oscar nomination for her work. And in 1991, she became the first African-American woman in more than half a century to win an Academy Award for Best Supporting Actress in Ghost. So she also is one of 12 people to ever have the EGOT. You guys know what the EGOT is?
Yeah.
Yep. Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, Tony. And she's got them all. And she was the first woman ever presented the Mark Twain Prize for American Humor. Quite an accomplishment. Now she drives me nuts. But when she first came on the scene, I actually saw her on Broadway in New York, and it was amazing. Amazing. People compared her, justifiably so, people compared her to Lily Tomlin. There's just no question about it. And here's a big one, and this is another sort of behind-the-scenes one. Mitzi Shore. You guys know who Mitzi Shore is? Dan, I know you do. Esmeralda, you know Mitzi Shore?
The name sounds familiar.
Well, she's Pauly Shore's mother, first of all.
Oh, there you go.
And, well, that's not why she's on the list. She's not on the list because she gave birth to the weasel.
Yeah. Oh, God.
That's what it should be, the explanation. She gave birth to the weasel. That's why she's on this list. No, she she's not a performer, but she helped launch the careers of some of the most famous comedians of the last 15 years. Co-founder and operator of the Los Angeles stand-up club, The Comedy Store. She's run The Comedy Store. She introduced the world to people like Richard Pryor, David Letterman, Jim Carrey, Jay Leno, Robin Williams, Chris Rock, Gary Shandling, Sam Kinison, our good friend Rich Scheidner, who was just in here, also played The Comedy Store a lot. Dozens of other A-list names. She also worked to break the comedy glass ceiling by creating a special stand-up venue that only allowed female comics on stage. And she launched Comedy Nights designed specifically for LGBT performers. And after the club's frequent acts banded together to go on strike, requesting to be compensated for their performances, she began paying the performers $25 per show. The decision had a nationwide impact on the stand-up comedy profession. So... And a few years ago, Tom Hanks' film production company was working on a film based on Pauly Shore, or based on Shore and her famous Comedy Store. That'd be a great movie, you know? Oh, you know what I didn't ask Rich about? If he's watching Crashing on HBO. Oh, get him back. Can we go back, get Rich back in here?
He was going out to dinner, so.
Yeah, maybe he's still around. So anyway, yeah, those are, it's a great article. And it's Fanny Brice, Lucille Ball, Phyllis Diller, Marilyn Suzanne Miller, Annie Beats, and Rosie Schuster, Whoopi Goldberg, and Mitzi Shore. That's a great list because these were groundbreaking women who changed comedy. And now we're just going to talk in general about hilarious women. And we would love to hear from you in any capacity, TV, film, movies, stand-up, whatever. 312-981-7200. We got some texts coming in already. 312-981-7200. 630 area code says Patricia Heaton from Everybody Loves Raymond for sure. Yeah, she's also funny on the middle. And I think she's a babe. I always had a thing for her, man. When I'd watch Everybody Loves Raymond, I'd be like, oh boy. Randy says Elaine Boozler. Elaine Boozler was mentioned a little bit earlier by our friend Rich Scheidner. Great stand-up comedian and some fantastic hair. Oh, in the 80s, did she have some hair. Big, poofy, curly hair. Esmeralda, you should look up some pictures like of Elaine Boozler circa 1986 and look out and take a look at some hair because she had some hair.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah. She
right?
needed a good conditioner. It was a little frizzy.
Yeah. She was funny woman, man. Funny. Elaine Boozler, very, very funny. 309, my mom, Dee Staley, was a Chicago-based stand-up from the early 80s through the mid-90s. There were tons of funny ladies during that time. They had to be twice as funny as their male counterparts, and it's still a male still male-dominated business. That's true. Talk to the woman whose show precedes mine. Talk about that. Talk about that with her. And Patty, by the way, is hilarious, as you know. If you've never seen her do a set or do a show, it's great. I had the absolute honor of opening for her. A couple of times at Zany's, and she's funny, and she had to struggle, too. So, all right, we'll take a break, and we'll come back with the news, and then after that, funny women, 312-981-7200.
Whatever you want, I'll give it to
yeah.
you.
Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, Triple Play Thursday. Yeah, man, Triple Play Thursday. Bird. One artist, three songs. Interesting choice, Lou. That's The Flame by Cheap Trick. A song they're not fond of. They didn't write it, but it was big, and it helped them come back in the late 80s there. Yeah. They very rarely play that song live, but they had I went to one show where they were taking requests, and somebody requested The Flame. They played it. So there you go. All right, 312-981-720. We're talking funny women. We want to hear from you. Call or text. Dan, if you is there a particular woman that you think is very funny?
You know, I'm going to go TV and current TV here. Constance Wu on Fresh Off the Boat is just consistently makes me laugh three or four times every show.
Yeah.
I mean, that show is hilarious in general. Everybody on it is great. The kids, the dad, the neighbors. It's got an awesome Fly John soundtrack because the kid, the main kid, you know, is in love with hip hop. So they had a 3-minute They basically redid Boys to Men.
I saw that online. Yeah.
Yeah, it was hilarious. But she is definitely the scene stealer in the show, and just consistently makes me laugh out loud. I don't think there's another show on TV that makes me laugh that hard.
So, wow. Okay. Yeah. Very, very cool. What about you, Esmeralda?
I was thinking of like some of the first female comedians that I would see on TV, and one of the first that I really thought was hilarious was Margaret Cho.
Yeah.
Because I watched her stand up, and then she had that TV show too.
Yeah.
So I thought she was like the cool. I'm like, oh my gosh. Because one, back in the 90s, you did not see Asian Americans as main characters.
No, she was a groundbreaker, no question about it. And she talked about her ethnicity, her sexuality. She was just on At Midnight Monday.
Very nice.
Yeah. And influenced, by the way, a big influence on Patty. If you talk to Patty about like her influences in stand-up, she mentions Margaret Cho. So, there's tons of funny women out there. Just so many women that make me laugh. When someone says funny women, the first person that pops into my head is Molly Shannon. I love her so much, and I think she is so unbelievably funny. And I know it's sacrilege to say this. I think she's the best, female cast member in the history of SNL. And I know people are now throwing their radios across the room because I didn't say Gilda Radner. And Gilda Radner was fantastic. Gilda Radner was amazing. She was brilliant. She was a genius, and she was so funny and awesome. But Molly Shannon, everything she did made me laugh. To this day, she's unbelievable. She was so good on the HBO show Divorce. And then she just won an Independent Spirit Award for... Other People, the movie that she made last year, which was not a comedy. She played a woman dying of cancer. She was spectacular in it. She's just great. So, and I got to meet her and she flirted with me. So there's that. I got really nervous around her too because she was getting all flirty. And I was like, I have a picture of me with her and I look like a moron because I'm like, it's Molly Shannon. Duh. She's the best. We got more texts coming in, 312-981-7200. I'm so glad somebody mentioned this one. 815 area code, Luanda Page, a.k.a. Aunt Esther. Dan, can you do me a favor and go to YouTube and just type in Sanford and Son Gorilla Cookies? just so we can play that clip. Luanda Page, hilarious. And Red Fox brought all his friends onto Sanford and Son. Like all the guys who played Skillet and Bubba and all those guys, those were his actual friends. Here's Slappy White was on the show, and he was his best friend. They worked together. Luanda Page was a stand-up, back in the vaudeville days, and he knew her forever, and he had the writing staff, write on Esther for her. And she, by the way, was a filthy comedian, like Red Fox. Was her stuff filthy. I think when people went back and listened to her old stuff after they would watch her on Sanford and Son, I think a lot of people were like, oh my God, they had no idea the kind of filth that was coming out of Luanda Page's mouth. And if you get a chance, she's spectacular in Shakes the Clown, Bobcat Goldthwait's movie about the alcoholic clown, which is genius, by the way. Esmeralda, have you ever seen Shakes the Clown?
No.
Oh my God. So great. It also has on the video cover, it also has my favorite critic quote, and I can't remember who said it. I can't remember who it's attributed to, but my favorite movie quote of all time on a movie box is for Shakes the Clown, and this is the quote, Esmeralda. The quote is, "It's the Citizen Kane of alcoholic clown movies."
Very nice.
Because there are so many alcoholic clown movies. So, but yeah, Shakes the Clown. She's in that. Luanda Page is in that, and she's filthy in that and hilarious. Do we have a little?
I'm having problems pulling it up. Oh, working there.
Okay. Let's see. 847 area code. Lucille Ball and Carol Burnett, I think without a doubt, were two of the biggest women trailblazers in comedy. Their skits still hold up today. Very true. Jim on the South Side says, I remember seeing Phyllis Diller on the Jack Parr show before she adopted the whole ugly bit. She was a very attractive girl and wore nice clothes, completely opposite of what her act turned into. It's true. And Kurt bringing out the big guns here. This is absolutely true. Kurt, I have always thought that Audrey Meadows had a great sense of humor and was funny and a talented actress. She was a genius. She was a genius. Audrey Meadows going toe-to-toe with Jackie Gleason and Art Carney. Come on. And, like, many times being funnier. I mean, come on. Yeah, Audrey Meadows, she was just a national treasure, man. And Alice Cramden, one of my favorite characters in the history of television. And The Honeymooners, my favorite TV show of all time. But, like, and the great thing about that, you ever watch The Honeymooners, Esmeralda?
No, I never really get to catch it on TV. I never find it.
It's on, I'm trying to think, it's on, I think it's on MeTV on Sunday nights. It's either MeTV or Antenna TV. It's one of the two. But it's on Sunday nights. I mean, it's a great show. But the thing about it, if you ever watch it, Esmeralda, Gleason hated to rehearse. Hated to rehearse. So they would go out fresh. They would go out there and just do it in front of a live audience. And there were really times that Audrey Meadows, they would talk, Art Carney, Audrey Meadows, and Joyce Randolph, the co-stars of the show, would talk about how there were these signals that Gleason would give them when he couldn't remember what was happening next. So they're in the middle of the show in front of a live audience, and Gleason would do a thing. I can't remember if it was like he would tap his chest or something, and they knew that they would have to like recap what was actually supposed to happen next, or like either Audrey Meadows would take one of Gleason's lines. You know, or Art Carney would tip him off as to what's happening. But if you watch the show closely, and I've there's only 39 episodes of the regular series, and I've seen all of them at least 500 times a piece. And if you watch it as ridiculously as I do, you'll notice when he goes up, like when he goes blank. but you can't really. It's seamless because
do they talk about if they like it or you know, if it was a thing of like, oh, geez.
Well, you know, I mean, Jackie Gleason was the king. I mean, he ran that show. It was his show. It was his concept. He was the ultimate boss. And by all accounts, he was a good guy to work with. Art Carney said he loved working with with Gleason, but it was a challenge. And they looked at it, Esmeralda, as like kind of an exciting challenge. Like, you know, you're working on the edge. You're working out the seat of your pants. And it's kind of scary, you know. But, yeah, it was, yeah, so Audrey Meadows, man. I mean, come on. She rules. Okay, we got to take a break here, and we're talking about funny women. And I have this list from Under Scoop Fire, the 50 funniest women of all time. And we want to just throw some names out there and talk about some of the women out there that we think are funny and women are hilarious. So we're going to take a break. We got weather. We got traffic. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Yeah. This is a jam, a fly jam. Triple Play Thursday. Yeah, man, Triple Play Thursday, bird. The 773 area code requested Stevie Wonder, and we'll do three decades of Stevie. First up, the 60s, with I Was Made to Love Her. Well, then that means the third song's going to suck. the second song will be amazing. I will say that. The second song will probably be one of the greatest songs ever recorded. Well, there's a couple of early 80s things that Stevie did that were okay. But then, like, once the I Just Called to Say I Love You came out, I was like, no. Anyway. Hey, hi. Nick DiGilio here. We're talking about funny women. 312-981-720. We got a bunch of people called in here. Let's get to some phone calls. We got text, and I've got a list here of the 50 funniest women of all time that we can bat around. 312-981-720. It's Patrick on WGNA. Patrick.
Hey, Nick. How you doing?
All right, man.
I was just cracking up, but you said the third song's going to suck.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's probably going to be Ebony and Ivory.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The 80s were not kind to Stevie.
No, they weren't. Man. Neither was Eddie Murphy at that time either.
Yeah, it's true.
But, I was telling Dan about Shakes the Clown and LaWanda Page's performance.
Oh, my
God.
Oh, my God.
I told him the line she has. It will not be repeated here.
No, you can't. You can't involve. It involves it involves peanut butter, but you can't.
Yeah,
you can't.
And dogs.
So great.
You know that movie all around is just great.
Oh yeah,
because of white powdery beef. That's all I got to say.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's so funny. I mean, really, really funny. And Bobcat Goldthwait has gone on to make several great movies and become a really great satirical director. You know.
I never knew he could do anything like that. A friend of mine turned me on to that movie, and we watched it, and I just remember rolling on the floor, crying so hard, laughing so hard, my stomach was killing me.
Yeah,
it's
hilarious.
Yeah. And as far as in funny, another funny woman I was thinking about, you know, Wanda Sykes, of course.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when you bring, you know, Wanda Sykes comes to mind, and then as I was sitting on hold, I also thought Amy Poehler, you know.
Oh, man, please, yeah.
Yeah, I used to watch, my daughter used to watch The Mighty Bee on, I think it was Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that was hers, and she did all the voices to it. So I would watch that with her, and she said, that show was actually kind of wacky.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if her character in Sisters, because we also like Sisters. I don't know. I think you guys didn't like it so much. But
yeah.
My daughters, we like Sisters.
Yeah.
We think that's a crazy movie. And I wonder if her character was kind of based off of The Mighty Bee, because she kind of reminded me of just that enthusiastic type of character.
Yeah.
That's where I was going with that. But
I
had to bring up Wanda Sykes.
All right.
I had to bring up Wanda Sykes.
Thank you, Patrick.
All right, thanks.
Take care, buddy. Yeah, Wanda Sykes is funny as hell. She is funny as hell. And Amy Poehler. Amy Poehler is on this list at number 13. You know, when she got on SNL, she just did so many great things on SNL. She was so great. She was a great anchor on Weekend Update. You know, when she and Tina Fey did Weekend Update, that was awesome. And, so she's funny. And, of course, Parks and Rec. By the way, if you want to hear our interview with Jim O'Hare from Parks and Rec, he played Jerry. It was a great interview, a lot of fun. You can listen to it on our podcast, WGNRadio.com. Let's see. Here's Mark on WGN. Hey, Mark.
Greetings from Cleveland. Hello. And congratulations on the Wall of Fame.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm really honored and thrilled, and it's really cool.
Yeah, anyway, about funny women, does the name Trish McNeil mean anything to you?
Trish McNeil, it should. It sounds familiar. I've killed a lot of brain cells over the years, Mark.
Okay, well, first, she's best known as a voice actor, although she's done some live-action stuff. For example, she played Lucy in Weird Al Yankovic's Old Ricky video.
Okay.
But she currently plays a lot of the female supporting roles on The Simpsons, including that corporate executive woman and the crazy cat lady.
She does the crazy cat lady?
Yes, but she would qualify for this list. She would qualify for this list alone just for two of the roles she did in the 90s. She played Babs Bunny on Tiny Toon Adventures and Doc Warner on Animaniacs.
She did?
Wow. Yes.
Oh, that's great. Talented. Talented.
And plenty of other roles, but those are her two best known.
Yeah. All right, great. Trish McNeil. Okay, Mark, thanks, man.
Okay, you have a great show.
Thank you, buddy. There you go. Here is Tom on WGN. Hey, Tom.
Hey, how you doing, Nick?
All right, morning. Man. Morning.
I'm surprised no one's mentioned Madeline Kahn yet.
We were getting to that. Well, she was one of the funniest women that has ever lived.
No, she should have won an Oscar for Young Frankenstein.
And Blazing Saddles. Yeah. I mean, she
was unbelievable.
She's amazing. Absolutely. She was one of the funniest women. Just hilarious in everything.
I know. She had a great voice, too.
Yeah, she could sing. She could do everything, man. Taken from us way too soon.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. And you know who else cracks me up?
Who?
Esmeralda.
Oh, look at that, Esmeralda.
Aw, thanks, buddy.
Hey, no problem.
All right. Tom, thanks, man.
Okay, bye.
Okay, take care. How about that, Esmeralda? You and Madeline Kahn in the same sentence.
I am not worthy.
Yeah, Madeline Kahn is high on these lists that we have, as well she should be, because truly one of the funniest women that's ever lived, and a tremendous actress. God, so funny. I mean, her performance, well, first of all, her performance in everything is great. One of my favorite performances of her is in the movie Clue. She's so hilarious in that movie. It just because I'm not crazy about that movie. I think there are funny things in it. I think Tim Curry rules in it. And it's got a great cast. They each have some moments. But she is hilarious in that movie. But, you know, I mean, you can't beat Young Frankenstein. You can't beat Blazing Saddles. She's amazing in Blazing Saddles. She's also very funny in High Anxiety. She was the best. All right. We got a break. We got a bunch of texts coming in. 312-981-7200. We're talking about funny, funny women. And the news is coming up next. Yeah. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Triple Play Thursday, yeah! 312-981-7200, 773, area code. Second Stevie Wonder song, Golden Lady from the 70s. All right. Hi, everybody. It's Nick DiGilio here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich will have the opening bell at 5 and the great Steve Cochran with your morning drive at 6. We are talking about funny women. Funny women. And I'm just going to throw some names out and we can talk about them. First of all, here's some texts. 815 area code says, lover or hater, Roseanne Barr has been a huge influence on comedy. That's absolutely true. Completely, absolutely true. Keith says, Cloris Leachman was hilarious on Mary Tyler Moore Show. Also very funny in Young Frankenstein and High Anxiety. And on what's the baby where they had the baby? Raising Hope, yes, thank you. Yeah, Raising Hope. She was hilarious on that show. You ever watch that show, Esmeralda, Raising Hope?
Yeah, I love all the, who is the guy who,
Garrett,
who wrote them?
Oh, the guy who wrote Raising
Hope?
Because
he did Raising Hope.
He did My Name is Earl.
Yes, so whoever
Garcia,
that.
Garcia.
That guy.
Yeah, the guy who created the show.
Right.
Something. He's good.
Yeah, he's great. I mean, ever since My Name is Earl and then Raising Hope was fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. How great is Martha Plimpton on Raising Hope?
Oh, she's so good. I mean, everybody's good.
Everybody
on that
is
show.
Great on
I love
yeah.
it.
Yeah, it's a great show. 847 area code. Nice choice. Imogene Coca from the early television first comedian with on your show of shows. She was great. Imogene Coca was a genius. Genius. 630 area code says Betty White. Yes. Let's see. Eric says Paula Poundstone. Mm-hmm. 847 area code says I'm showing my age, but I remember my mom watching Toadie Fields on Johnny Carson. I remember Toadie Fields. She's very funny. Nick says Katie Sagal. I agree with that completely. Hilarious on Married with Children. 847, Ellen DeGeneres. G says Andrea Martin, Catherine O'Hara, and Nicole Sullivan. All three awesome. I love Andrea Martin and Catherine O'Hara. I mean, it was SCTV. What are we talking about here? We're talking about geniuses. 262 area code, Gracie Allen. She was hilarious. 312, Bonnie Hunt. Dan and Marengo says Estelle Harris. 708 area code says, all of the Golden Girls. Al says, Mom's Mabley. People still talk about her today. Remember when I took that damn comedy quiz and I got the Mom's Mabley question wrong?
How dare you?
I'm such a dummy. Mom's Mabley is hilarious. All right, I'm going to fly down some names here. We'll just throw them out and see if you guys think they're funny. Deborah Messing, funny?
Yeah.
Yep.
I liked her on Will and Grace.
Yep. Although that show should have been called what was Megan Mullally's name on it? Karen?
Yes, Karen.
Yeah, should have been called Jack.
Which she's hilarious.
She's unbelievably funny, and she's married to Nick Offerman. Their children will be hilarious. Nikki Glaser. I love Nikki Glaser. I think she's really funny, and I also think she's very hot. And I actually, when she was on Patty's show one time, I texted Patty and I said, can I come down for a minute? And I ran downstairs so I could meet Nikki Glaser. She's very, very funny. Do you know Nikki Glaser, Esmeralda? Do you know of her work?
I just looked her up, and she does that show about things.
Sex.
Right.
Not Safe, it's called.
There you go. Yeah.
I think she's really funny. Also really funny and really hot, Aisha Tyler. Hilarious.
She is awesome on Archer.
She is completely awesome on Archer, which starts this week, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
The new season.
The Dreamland.
Yeah, Dreamland season. It's going to be great. She was also on At Midnight this week. I had her on my show. I had Aisha Tyler on my show. And halfway through the interview, she said, you know, I'm drunk. I was like, thank you for your honesty. next here is Aubrey Plaza, who I love.
Have you seen that trailer for that movie, Something Goes West?
No.
You should look it up.
Okay.
I forget the name. It's like her name, not Aubrey, but whatever her character's name is, Goes West.
Okay.
And she's like insane in it. It looks really good.
Oh, she's insane in it? Where there's a...
right?
Yeah.
Oh, evidently, such a far away.
I haven't seen Legion yet. And everybody I know who's watched Legion has had their mind blown. But Dan, have you watched Legion yet?
No, I haven't gotten around to it.
I haven't either, but I understand she's unbelievable on it. And she's not funny. She's like really crazy and scary on it. But I love Aubrey Plaza. I loved her on Parks and Rec. Next here is Anna Faris. Hilarious. Also, and she's married to Chris Pratt. So they'll have funny babies. Rebel Wilson is next on the list. I can take or leave Rebel Wilson. I thought she was very, very funny in Bridesmaids, though. She was trying to pour the frozen peas on her back. Did you remember that, Esmeralda?
Not really, because she was the roommate,
the
right?
roommate, yeah. And she got a really horrible back tattoo, and it got infected, like the tattoo got infected. And there was like one, and Kristen Wiig is like, why don't you take the frozen peas out and put them on your back? She opens up the bag instead of putting the bag of peas on her back. She starts pouring peas down her back and all over the kitchen floor.
I didn't mind that one show she had.
The Party Now, Tonight, or whatever it was.
Yeah, it wasn't the worst.
Yeah. I don't know, but she's just doing the same thing over and over again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because she was great in Pitch Perfect, obviously. But she's kind of doing the same shtick over and over again. Next is Chelsea Handler. I like Chelsea Handler. I know a lot of people can't stand her. I know she's very divisive, but I like Chelsea. Do you like Chelsea Handler, Esmeralda?
I haven't really listened to her do funny stuff. Yeah. I liked her in that Netflix series she had where she had all the different topics.
Yeah, and that comes back Friday.
I liked that.
Yeah. Did you ever watch Chelsea Lately?
No.
On E?
No, I never did.
It was really good. And her stand-up is good. Her books are very funny. Let's see. Jane Curtin is on the list. Please, what can you say about Jane Curtin? Carol Leifer, our guest from earlier this morning, ex-wife. There you go. Paula Poundstone is mentioned here. Rosie O'Donnell. Amy Schumer, not a fan, sorry. Not a fan of Amy Schumer. Let's see, we got more people on the line. Here's Rich on WGN. Hey, Rich.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, I thought of two in addition to the one I called about while I was at Holt. And I was very surprised at her humor. I think Jamie Presley?
Yeah, oh, man. Yeah, speaking of My Name is Earl.
Yeah,
I mean, Jamie Presley's hilarious.
Yeah, I think she was kind of like discovered a comedy streak like the way Leslie Nielsen did.
She was very funny. She also, when she hosted SNL, she killed. She was great on SNL. Yeah, she's very funny.
Yeah, another one who just you look at her and you can't. You can't help but laugh. She used to be a guest on the early David Letterman show. She was a satirist, and she always would come on in jeans, an Oxford button-down shirt, and loafers. And I think her name was Anne Leibovitz.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she killed.
Yeah.
But the one I call about, which just blew me away in her prime, all her life actually, was Carrie Fisher.
Yeah, very funny woman. She was very funny woman.
Like a bona fide triple threat between her, you know, her ability to act and she was a top. Wasn't she a script doctor? Right?
She wrote scripts. She wrote books. She was a.
She killed.
She was great.
Hot.
Yeah, she was. Okay, thank you, Rich.
All right, bye-bye.
Take care, buddy. And then, and she was Princess Leia. So there you go. All right, let's take a break here. We got weather, we got traffic, and then coming up after the 4:30 news, your name's Esmeralda, right? I just wanted to make sure I was pronouncing it correctly.
No.
Oh.
Like Jerry Gergich, I've just been going with that. You had it right that first time you said it.
We're going to do the celebrity name game coming up in a little bit. And so we're wrapping up the funny women thing. Yeah, this song's not bad. Forgot this song was in the 80s. It's not bad. Stevie Wonder on Triple Play Thursday. Yeah! 773 area code requested that. That's from the 80s. And that's that girl. And, yeah. Okay, we're back here, and we're going to wrap up the conversation about funny women. I'm just going to throw some names out, and we see what we find funny about them. Let's see. Kathy Griffin. You think Kathy Griffin is funny, Esmeralda?
You know, I kind of enjoy it. Because it's just her gossiping.
Yeah.
And I am a fan of gossip, so.
Yeah, no, I don't, you know, a lot of people will hate her. I can take her, I don't hate her. I can take her in small doses. You know. Hey, did you watch that clip that I sent you, like, last week or the week before, Esmeralda, from SNL, where they were doing the voiceovers for the Zoopolis thing?
Oh, yeah.
How amazing is Melissa Villaseñor?
Which one was the one? Oh, I liked she did Kate McKinnon.
She did Kate McKinnon.
I just like because she did the face.
Yeah, she did the face. And he's like, I'm a cat. And but she does Kathy Griffin during that bit. And she does, I mean, every single impersonation she did was amazing. I mean, her Owen Wilson is hysterical.
I liked, who was hosting?
Octavia Spencer.
I liked her, her version of, oh my God. I can't remember people's names. She was in Caligula. It was the blonde British lady. She's still really hot.
Helen Mirren. No, she didn't do Helen
Mirren. Yeah, Helen Mirren. She did. No, it was Helen Mirren.
Oh, I thought she did Judi Dench.
I think it was Helen Mirren. Oh. I mean, she might have done both.
Okay. But she also did Jodie Foster.
Yeah. That was good.
That's a great sketch. But that was really like, you know, Melissa Villaseñor. My God, what an ear that girl has. And her Kristen wig was right on the money. She's great. She's great. Let's see. Wendy Liebman. You guys know who Wendy Liebman is? She was popular in the 80s and the early 90s. Very funny.
I remember seeing stand-up specials with her.
Yeah, she did. I think she did a few like HBO things. Melissa McCarthy is on the list. Mary Tyler Moore. Amy Sedaris, who is certifiably insane and awesome. I love Amy Sedaris. I adore her.
Are you Strangers with Candy?
Oh, my God.
The best.
So funny. I remember when I saw the movie and the people in the theater were like, what the hell is this?
So, wait, do you think most of them just went?
I think they were clearly fans of the show who went to see it, but I think some people just kind of wandered in and were like, what is this? What the hell is this? What kind of character is this? All right, let's see. Also on the list, Joan Rivers, that goes without saying. Tracy Ullman, so brilliantly talented, man. Amy Poehler, Janine Garofalo, never really liked Janine Garofalo. Was never on the bandwagon with Janine Garofalo. Gilda Radner, number 10 on this list, is Betty White. Number 9, Bea Arthur, mentioned earlier. Number 8, Carol Burnett. What can you say about Carol Burnett? Number 7, Sarah Silverman, I think is very high on this list. Well, she might also be very high. Hold on a minute. Wait a minute. Number 5 is Jane Lynch. Very high for the list of the funniest women of all time. Jane Lynch, who I think is awesome, and she's from the Chicagoland area. 4, Tina Fey. 3, Roseanne Barr. 2, Kristen Wiig. on this list. And then number one is Lucille Ball. And I'm looking at this other list, and they mention in Hollywood history, so these are like mostly movie stars, Sandra Bullock, Terry Garr should be higher than 29. Terry Garr is awesome and hilarious. Catherine O'Hara, Bea Arthur, Wanda Sykes, Rosalind Russell, nice, His Girl Friday. Elaine May is on this list. Mindy Kaling, who I also think is very funny. Julia Louis-Dreyfus, Lily Tomlin, Carol Burnett, obviously, Gilda Radner, and Lucille Ball, also number one. And we'll wrap it up with these texts from folks. 630 area code says Melissa McCarthy. Yeah, she is hilarious, but she's always going to be Suki from Gilmore Girls. She's my Suki from Gilmore Girls. 847, Gene Stapleton from All in the Family. 309 area code, Lily Tomlin and Jane Fonda. I have not watched that show, Frankie and Biffy, or whatever it's called.
Grace?
Is that what it's called, Frankie? Grace and Frankie?
I think.
I love both of them. Where's Dolly Parton? How come Dolly Parton's not on that show? And then 312 area code, Amy Sedaris, who's insane and awesome. And then the Gov texts in Olivia Munn. He says, I read her book, it's hilarious, and she's hot. Yeah, she's very hot. She's like insanely hot. Who is she? Aaron Rodgers, right? Oh, man. That's just depressing. All right, we got a break. We got the news coming up next, and then afterwards, another unbelievable battle, and Esmeralda coming off of her tremendous win. And we're going to be playing some celebrity name game. News is coming up next, though.